Okay, gentlemen, we are talking today about a different perspective of Tzelem Elohim. And this is a perspective that I'd like to put into the context of the famous story at the end of the parsha that is ambiguous. No one really understands what's happening over there. And I'm not about to tell you, this is the Perush and this is what you have to go with. There are many Perushim as to what exactly was the big sin of the tower builders at the end of the parsha. You all recall the story. They're building a tower. The tower is going to be with its head in heaven. God comes down, mixes everyone up with the fact that everyone all of a sudden starts speaking a different language. And of course, the question that everybody asks is an obvious one. What was so bad? Everybody spoke the same language. Everyone was getting along. They were all united in the same perspective and goal to build the building. This is wonderful. This is Entopia. So Dov Shir will speak about another perspective that I don't think I'm for speaking on, I'm hoping. Dov warned me never to speak in the name of Rabbi Simon. He's Rabbi Simon's Talmud, and he's going to give all the Torahs from Rabbi Simon. So I didn't hear this from Rabbi Simon. So I'm doing my part. Now you have to do your part. Gentlemen, if you look at the psukim at the beginning of the source sheet, you can see exactly the issue of and everything that happened, and I just wanted to pinpoint my own perspective on it, even though there's many others. As you could see, in the middle of this whole story, God says, Vayered Hashem, God went down, Lirota Ta'ir Ve'et HaMigdal, to see the city and the tower, Asher Banu B'nei HaAdam. How would you translate those words? Four words, Asher Banu B'nei HaAdam.
Which was it? That the Son of Man built.
Don't give me art school. How do you explain it? How the people built. Now it's a very interesting term, B'nei HaAdam. God could have said, Asher Banu, that they built. We know human beings built it, we just said so. I think the Psukim are trying to tell us something by using this term, because as far as I remember, this term is never used again in the Torah. B'nei HaAdam. The children of the Adam, or the human being, obviously referring to Adam HaRishon. B'nei HaAdam, the children of Adam HaRishon. God goes down, sees what the children of Adam HaRishon is doing, and goes ahead and says, I'm going to mix up their languages. Why?
Or their
all the Mepharshim say. Rashi indeed.
As opposed to their ideas?
Could be many different things, but the pshat is their language, and they didn't understand each other.
Leibowitz says that this is a totalitarian regime. They spoke alike, they fought alike.
We're going to get to that, exactly. I'm going to speak a little bit to that topic. If you look at Rashi, Rashi asks a simple question. Ela b'nei mi? No, the children of who? What do you mean b'nei ha'adam? As if the Torah is telling us something we don't know. Who built the building? The children of Adam HaRishon. Of course the children of Adam HaRishon. Who else built it? You just said human beings built it. All human beings eventually go back to Adam HaRishon. Shema b'nei chamorim v'gmalim? Maybe, what? You think that it was the offsprings of the donkeys and the camels? Of course it's Adam HaRishon. So Rashi, many times you have to read the books of what's bothering Rashi. You know those books, what's bothering Rashi? Mm-hmm. What's Rashi's question? The Siftei Chachamim onward. Here Rashi tells you his question. What is the Torah trying to mechadesh for me? What is the insight here? B'nei HaAdam. Of course human beings. Ela B'nei Adam HaRishon. It's referring to Adam HaRishon. Shekafar et HaTova. That was totally, how can we say this nicely? No. Kfui tova in English. Ungrateful. He was totally ungrateful. Ve'amar, Aisha shenatata imadi. He said, the woman that you gave made me eat from the tree. Ve'af elu, even these guys, kafru batova, they also were ungrateful. Limrod, to rebel, b'mishi hishpi'am letova. In the person, in the being that influenced them for better, umaltam min hamabul, and allowed them not to be in the mabul. What is Rashi telling us here? Adam HaRishon was ungrateful because he said to God, when he sinned, it's because of the woman that you gave me. Instead of saying, thank you, you gave me a wife, it's wonderful to have a wife, he was ungrateful. So too, these guys are ungrateful for God saving them from the mabul. What does one have to do with the other here? I don't understand. Of course God saved, they didn't exactly save them. They saved their great, 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 great grandfathers, Noah and his family. What is Rashi trying to tell us? And I want to explain Rashi in the following sense. There's a pasuk every Jew says or should say twice a day. This is the pasuk that we begin to mechanech our kids with. As you know, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, when the kid starts learning, is he able to learn, you gotta give him a little Torah. How do you start? What's the pasuk? Torah, Tziva, Lanu, Moshe, and then Shema Yisrael. Every kid starts with Shema Yisrael. Fine. What's Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad mean? What's Hashem Echad mean? God is one. I don't know what article says. But look at Rashi and the Rashbam. They say the same thing on the source sheet. They basically say as follows. You see this table? I could say there's a table like this somewhere. There it is. This table looks like that table. This chair, there's another chair like it somewhere in the room. Go find it. Okay? To whom can't you say that statement? You can't say that about God. I can't say God looks like X, because there's nothing like God. God is one means. You can't compare God to anything else. God is one. He's unique. There's nothing like God in the world. That's what Hashem Echad means. Ve'ein, as Rashbam says on that pasuk, ve'ein lanu eloka acher imo. There is no other God that is like God. God is one. One means what? In one word, unique. Nothing like it. This is a sculpture. Nothing looks like this sculpture. This is the picture I built. No one built, no one drew this picture. God is one. If that's true, then if God gave every human being a Tzelem Elohim, what does that tell you? If God gave some of himself to every human being, what does that tell you about human beings? That they have some of God in them, meaning there's something in each human being that no other human being has. If you look around the table, everyone can say to themselves, I have something you don't have. I have a strength you don't have. I have a weakness you don't have. There's something about every human being that no other human being has. And it's not me making this up. The Gemara says it explicitly. Chazal say it in many places. I'll quote one place. Brachot naf nun chet. Amun aleph. Tana rabbanan. Halacha. Hare'e uchlasei Yisrael. You see a multitude of Jews. Where do we see a multitude of Jews? Birkat, let's go Har Sinai, of course. But nowadays, where would you see it? Let's go back. Where were Birkat Kohanim in the Kotel, Cholom Moed, huh? You see the pictures, you see a multitude of Jews. You see Kohanim in the front, you see many Jews in the back. Chasidim, Litvakin, Koifrim, Apikorsim, and even some Zionists and religious Zionists. They're all there, it's the packed plaza. There's a halacha you have to mekayim at that point. What's the halacha? You have to make a bracha. What's the bracha you make? Baruch Chacham Harazim. Blessed be you, God. Can you explain those words to me? Smarter, more advanced than anyone else. Why? She'ein da'atam domeh lezeh lazeh ve'ein partzufehim domim lezeh. You're making a bracha, shevach, a praise to God, that basically, according to the Gemara, means, God, you have created human beings, that there's no two human beings, continue my sentence, alike. That look alike.
This isn't only on Jews, this
is talking, I'm talking about the Chusei Yisrael, it can be about every human being too. There's another bracha in that Gemara about every human being.
No, I mean, when you see a multitude and you make this bracha, mm-hmm. Each person is unique.
But this is the Chiddush, you have to understand. If it's human beings, and you could say, he's a Catholic, and he's a Protestant, and he's a Muslim, and he's a Kofer, and he's a Buddhist. We're all Jews, we're all Mekayim the same, 613 mitzvahs, we're all wearing kippahs. Still you make this bracha. Why? Because there's no two Jews that look alike. There's no two Jews that are exactly alike. There's no two Jews that can say I have the same strengths and weaknesses as the other guy. Even identical twins.
Can you say this?
We could say differences. How do I know this? I have an identical twin in my building. He lives in my building, I won't say his name. He davens in this shul. His brother is now on Shlichut. I know him too, he went through my organization. Dov, my word of honor, you cannot tell them apart. You see them, when he was first in this shul, I went up to him, I gave him a big hug, I said, why didn't you tell me you're coming in? He looked me in the eyes and he said, coming in from where? I go, didn't you just come in from X? He said, no, I'm the other guy. Oh, okay. The only way I could tell them apart is with their wives. Oh, there you go. You knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, no,
gentlemen, Let me ask you something. The only way I can tell them apart is by their wives. But this is the beautiful proof to what I'm saying. Identical twins, same mother, same father, look alike. They're cousins. Did they marry the same kind of wives?
I don't know. I only know.
Of course not!
Of course not. But no,
Shruli is my first cousin. But the truth of the matter is that there's no two people that look alike, and that's our source of pride. Even within the Jewish people, the Gemara says, we don't look alike. So how much more so within the human world as a human world? They look alike, but they're not alike in their in their personality. Exactly. I accept the correction. They can look alike, but they do not. They're not alike. Even at a Hasidic wedding where they all dress alike, there's differences between every person, and every person can look themselves in the mirror and understand, I am good at this and I am bad at that. Everyone knows what they're good and bad at. I know what I'm good and bad at. The beauty is that maybe we can come to the realization that we can invest our time in what we're good in and not what we're bad in. But this is our source of pride. When God created man or woman, when he created the human being, he gave each person a tzelem Elohim, which means uniqueness. Something that I have that someone else and no one else has. And everyone can look around the table and can say to themselves, what do I have that no one else has? And that's what I think the sin of the tower was. They were trying to be, as Rashi says, ungrateful to their uniqueness. Forget about the fact that I'm better at you at this and you're better at me at that and you can help me with this and I can help. Forget it. What do we all have? Common denominator. We can all build a building. It's simple. You take some cement, you take some bricks, you put them together. Forget about what's different. God says, that's being ungrateful. I gave you something no one else has. What do you do with it? You throw it in the garbage. I gave you a collector's item. Why is it a collector's item? Because no one else has it. It's the baseball card, Babe Ruth, from then. And what do you do with it? You throw it in the garbage. You'd rather have what everyone else has.
Wait, this begs the question of then why did God create everybody to speak the same language to begin with? I mean, it was inevitable.
Yeah, it can't be languages, right?
Speaking the same language per se is not the problem. That was the remedy. The problem was that they did not use their uniqueness. And what God had to do is to go to the extreme. He had to mix up their languages so they indeed are no longer all together on this common denominator. And each person is contributing to the world what he or she can. Each person has what to give in this world. I always like to say the world is like a machine, and each person is a screw. And if you take out one screw, the whole thing starts to shake.
So you go one step further, if they all speak different languages, and they can't communicate their uniqueness anymore.
Oh, no, they can. I'm not saying they can't communicate, but there's no question that they're not going to go ahead and say, we no longer have uniqueness, we're all the same. That is being ungrateful to the Tzelem Elohim when you say we're all the same. I'll just add one more comment, a little more blunt. When you try to put everyone in a straitjacket, that, in my opinion, is going against the Tzelem Elohim as well. God gave us the capacity to be different, and we put everyone in a straitjacket. And I have to admit that I think in even our institutions, in many times, we try to put people in a straitjacket. We try to educate today, and it really bothers me. Everyone has to dress alike. Correct? Everyone has to have the same curriculum. Every yeshiva has to have the same kind of day, from the morning to the evening. I find this very problematic. Because if someone has a uniqueness, let them bring it out. So today in Israel, we're far ahead of the game than around the world. We have the Yeshiva High School for basketball. And we have the Yeshiva High School for Tehillim. And we have the Yeshiva High School for intellectuality and analytical thinking. What many of us call an error, what we call an error, the normal Yeshiva High School. But it's not the normal, it's one of the many. And we have a Yeshiva High School where they dance most of the time. You mentioned Retzlovers. And we have the Yeshiva High School. The common denominator is we're all Jews, we're all Mekayim Mitzvot. But each person has a uniqueness. And we have to find that uniqueness and bring it out. And that's the biggest celebration. Tzelem Elohim. You even make a bracha Baruch Chacham Harazim on it. Yeah.
No, I was going to say financially, it's impossible to do so outside of Israel. Here, the government's fund all the schools, so
you got a point.
Choice.
You know, they fund part of the school.
It's not so simple. They don't get funding in the States.
I'm not exactly sure. Chacham Harazim together as a Chacham Harazim as a phrase means could be the smart person of secrets. The secret is that you're able to create human beings that ultimately, when they go into the hospital, then they have, you use the same medical book, to remedy their situation, but yet they're all different at the same time. They're the same and different at the same time. And that's the Tselem Elohim, that little bit of God that God gave us, that there's something in us that's different from everyone else, just like God. There's nothing you can compare God to. Yeah.
I view this as different hashkafot, because you can speak a different language with people if you don't see things the same way. So it's a little bit of a euphemism that we
could
have
be.
The same language.
Could be.
I mean, unless they're trying to really explain the origins of languages, which is...
No. I think it's more than that. I think, to sum up, the tower, the problem was they wanted, as Rashi says, to say, who cares that we're different? Let's all be the same. And God says, no, I want you to be different. That's why I gave you a Tselem Elohim. So God mixed them up so much that they have to now be different.
They weren't fulfilling their potential.
That's right. And I want to end off exactly with the words you said, potential. You remember Yom Kippur? We said the vidui. At the end of the vidui, and the private vidui, we add a little personal prayer. It's at the bottom of the source sheet from Gemara Brachos. It's the prayer of Rava. Rava, after he davened every day, we only say this on Yom Kippur after the vidui, he would say as follows. Elokai, ad shelo nutzarti, eini kedai. God, until I was created, I'm nothing. Why is it until I'm created, I'm nothing? Because you're not there yet, you're nothing. Until I was created, I was nothing, because you're nothing. Now comes the chiddush. Ve'achshav shenotzarti ki'ilu lo notzarti. And now that I was created, it is as if I wasn't created. What does that mean? I'm here. I'm breathing. They could arrest me for desecration of airspace.
But he's not.
No.
Maybe not accomplishing. He hasn't accomplished.
Very good. He's not accomplishing the potential you spoke about. Each person has something that the other person doesn't have. So if you just want to be like the other person and yet you could do better, you're not fulfilling your potential. And when you come before God on Yom Kippur, on the Vidui, part of the Vidui is not just saying I did this sin and that sin. It's also saying, God, I didn't live up to what I could have been. Whatever that might be for each person. Some person gets home from 5 o'clock from work, at 8 o'clock when the kids go to sleep, he can invest his time in something else because he's good at it. And he chooses to stay home and watch TV. It's easier to go to sleep early. Another person come ahead and said, I could invest in music, and I don't. I have a gift in art, and I don't. Everyone has something that the other person doesn't have. And when we give a din v'cheshbon, when we come before God and have to say, listen, I did this and I didn't do that, part of it is, did I live up to my potential? Did I live up to the Tselem Elohim that God gave me that no one else has? And that's our source of pride. And therefore I'll end by saying, in the religious world today, we have to work on this. Because we have a problem. We're all religious. We all mekayim mitzvot. So we're very much alike in much of what we do. Same kosher home. The same tarat mishpacha. The same minyan we all daven at. It's pretty much the same. Right? We have to work on the differences as well. And to educate our children that having more of a diversified society is the way of the Torah. That's living up to our Tselem Elohim. That people think differently. That we can agree to disagree. That is our source of pride. We all keep kosher, but yet our Shabbos menus are different. We all daven, and yet our kavanos are different. And that's legitimate. And some people sit in davening and they daven fast. Another person davens slow. And one person shuckles and one person moves from side to side. And one person doesn't move at all. And you can't make fun of it and you can't say, no, we should all be the same. Unity in its real sense means we can all live together because we all understand you got something I don't have. You're different from me. Then we'll have unity. Then we'll have true peace in the world. I hope it happens soon.
This is the thing that God likes about them, that they were united in this. At least they worked on a project together with some hot food in their project.
Mm-hmm.
But in those days, compared to today, where it's easy to say everyone has their potential, you know, your grandfather made this potential about what you could be doing for Panas, there was none of that. So it's a very...
It was pretty much set, you're saying.
It was definitely set, up until very, very recently. You did what your father did.
It didn't exist either, you know. That's,
right?